Janine, would you read that passage for us?
Good morning.
Good morning.
The title, the subtitle, I should say, before the section in the Bible says, Warning Against Idleness. Correct? Okay. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 to 13. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers, to keep away from every brother who is idle and does not live according to the teaching you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We did this not because we do not have the right to such help, but in order to make ourselves a model for you to follow. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule. If a man will not work, he shall not eat. We hear that some among you are idle. They are not busy. They are busybodies. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the bread they eat. And as for you, brothers, never tire of doing what is right. May the Lord be with this word and be with Michael as he brings the word that you've given him, Lord, forth to all of us that are here today. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Janine. Well, this morning, we finished Galatians last week, and we are beginning a very brief sermon series next week. So I was trying to figure out what we should look at. And tomorrow is Labor Day, a federal holiday that we have been celebrating for more than 125 years. Became a federal holiday in 1895 when Grover Cleveland signed its observance into law. On Labor Day, we as a nation celebrate the accomplishments of labor unions and guilds, which were instrumental in standardizing wages, in providing safety measures for workers, in implementing the 40-hour work week, and in enacting child labor laws. While I say all these wonderful things that we celebrate, I understand that work and occupation and vocation and labor are sometimes seen as worldly pursuits, necessary evils in the world. Maybe even we think, because of Genesis chapter 2, that work and toil and labor and effort, occupation, vocation, are part of God's curse upon humanity. These are not topics for spiritual enrichment, some might say. Yet, in many places in the scriptures, the Holy Spirit inspired writers to write about labor. In the laws of Moses, the Ten Commandments, you shall work and you shall rest. In the parables of Jesus, the workers went out. The man went out at each hour to seek laborers for his vineyard, and so forth. And we see this morning from the passage that Janine read for us that it's mentioned in the letters of Paul. Our labor matters to God. This is a picture of a man working a hazelnut harvest. Yeah, it does a little, but it's hazelnuts. So anyway, as we look at this passage, and I appreciate Janine reading it, and unlike most times that that we have a passage before us, this is all one self-contained little unit, verses 6 through 13. And so in order to fully process it in my own mind, I am going to be jumping around a little bit. Because Paul says some things, repeats some things, says some different things. And so in order to put it in a cohesive unit, I'm going to jump around just a little. The first thing I want us to recognize is that labor is an avenue for blessing. Paul says in verse 6, "In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers and sisters, people of faith, to keep away from every brother who is idle and does not live according to the teaching you have received from us." Now, we'll talk about the first half of that in a little bit. What I want to think about for a moment is this: does not live according to the teaching you received from us. The way that Paul is talking here is part of his initial teaching. When he came to Thessaloniki on his missionary journey, he told them how they were to live, how they were to act, how they were to operate. Thessaloniki had a number of labor guilds. And some thought, well, now that I'm a Christian, that's what I should devote myself to. Understanding the days and times, so that when Jesus returns, I'll be ready. No longer will I have to work. And that's why in 1 Thessalonians, the first letter Paul writes, he says this, 1 Thessalonians 4:11 and 12, "Make it your ambition to live a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders, and so that you will not be dependent on anybody." Paul's initial teaching to them, before he wrote this letter, before he wrote the second letter that we're looking at this morning, was to live a quiet life, to work with your hands, to provide. And he says, that's how I told you when I was with you. That's what I'm telling you now. And then in the second letter, that's what I'm reminding you that I told you before, and I told you when I was with you. Labor and toil are aspects of the Christian life. Paul says in verse 8, the second half of verse 8, "On the contrary, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling, so that we would not be a burden to any of you." He says he labored and toiled night and day. Why? So that he wouldn't be a burden. So that people would not think that he was entitled to luxury, that he was entitled to compensation. He reiterates here in verse 10, "For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule, this standard for living. If a man will not eat, he shall not. If a man will not work, he shall not eat. And I have to say, with all due respect to the translators of the New International Version of the Bible, this is literally correct, but bad in translation. What it really says is, if someone wishes not to work, if someone desires not to work, which it says here, if a man will not work, if a man wills not to work, is really what it says. Not he can't work, not that he's not looking for work, if he desires to not work. My life's ambition is not to work. Paul says, then he should not participate in the feasts of the church. He should not presume the church's assistance and provision. And that's why Paul says, just before this, I had every right, all authority, to tell you that you should provide for us. But in order to make ourselves a model for you to follow, we paid for our own bread. We were compelled to compel you to imitate a productive life, to do things with your hands, to do things with your mind, to do things so that you will be provided for through God's blessing. God equips us through our ability to labor as He designed. The second thing is, labor is an antidote for idleness. In the very beginning, verse 6, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you to keep away from every brother who is idle. Literally, what he says is, I want you to avoid those living or walking around idly. The word idle or idly is the word atactos. Atactos. It's the only time this word is used in the New Testament, here in verse 11. And it is a word that has the prefix a, which means not, and tactos, which means fixed or orderly. And really what he's saying is, I want you to avoid people who of the faith who are walking around out of order, not functioning the way God designed. Christians ought not to be out of order. I'm sorry, I don't work. Because, as he says here, idleness leads to gossiping. Verse 11. We hear that some among you are idle. Paul is saying, this is not just a hypothetical. I want you to avoid those who are walking around idle, because I have heard that there are people who are walking around among you who are non-functioning. They are not busy. They are busy bodies. And the word here, the word for working, to work, ergazome. We get the word ergonomic, something, you know, that works, ergonomic. Ergazome is working. Periergazome is what is called a busybody. And what that means is they're working around. They look like they're working. They look like they're part of the effort. But they're on the fringes and they're sort of skirting the job. They're the ones that are at the job, but they're talking amongst themselves. They're the ones that are critiquing the performance of those that are there doing the work. They don't want to do the work themselves. And what Paul is saying here is idle hands lead to idle speculation. This is part of what he was talking about before. You have people who are unwilling to exert effort, and so they just talk. And when you run out of things about which that are valuable to talk about, you start talking about things that are not edifying and valuable to talk about. And so they were spreading rumors instead of spreading the gospel. They were speculating. They were casting doubt. They were destroying people's character. All because they were not doing or seeking to do what God desired for them to do. The easiest way to stay out of trouble is to stay on task, Paul would argue. The other thing he says about avoiding idleness . Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 12 says, to settle down and earn the bread they eat. Labor leads to growth. Don't become idle. Idleness leads to gossiping, but labor leads to growth. It helps us remain settled. To literally work quietly. Not work without speaking, but to work without the inner voices and the inner turmoil. To live and to work peacefully. And I think about this idea of atactos, non-functioning, not working right, out of order. And I think of a car engine. When it is working efficiently, it purrs. It's quiet. When it is not working efficiently, when there is something out of order, it is loud and noisy and troublesome. Paul says you should live settled, quietly. That your willingness to work, your desire to work, should give you an inner peace. And it helps us remain self-reliant, earning the bread we eat. Now, not all the time and not in every situation are we able to earn the bread we eat. And Paul is not arguing against that. Paul would say in other places that we should provide for those who are without. Ephesians 4, 28. We must work doing something useful with our hands so that we might have something to share with those who are in need. This isn't an inability to work. This is an lack of desire. We should seek to be self-reliant. We should not seek to be idle. The last thing that Paul says here is labor is an aspect of doing good. Verse 13. As for you, never tire of doing what is right. Never tire. Do not grow weary. Do not become discouraged. It's similar to what Paul said when we were looking a couple weeks ago at Galatians 6:9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. And let me leave you with this thought. What if the proper time were the day after you gave up? The harvest is going to come, whether it's physically or spiritually or both. God allows the plants to grow. God allows the harvest to turn white. God allows for growth. And may we not become discouraged. May we not become disappointed. May we not grow tired or be weary of doing good. Our perseverance is proportional to our trusting in God's purposes. We don't grow weary, not out of stubbornness. We don't grow weary because we know that God will provide. And then, as I said before, our labor, our doing good, enables us to help those who need it. Going back to what I first started with, 1 Thessalonians 4:12. We labor so that our daily life may win the respect of outsiders, so that we will not be dependent on anyone, or as Paul stated, we work doing something useful with our hands so that we might share with others. And it is right and good and godly to live respectably and generously. And so we labor. Now, God ministers to others through our labor. Our sermon in a sentence is this: our godly labors will provide blessings for us and benefits for others. And before we begin to think about our labors as some sort of paid position, let me remind everyone that is here this morning, whether you are school-aged or employment-age or retired-age, that we are expected to labor in the Lord. Everyone, no matter what our station of life may be, we must not live idly. We must not be unwilling to work. Whether it's an occupation or a volunteer position, for the family or for the company, we are all commanded to be useful. Our godly labors will provide blessings for us and benefits for others. And when we labor, we will see the joys of the Lord in our lives and will lessen the burdens of those around us. We will have bread to eat. We will have bread to share. We will not grow weary or become discouraged or tire or cease to do what is right, because we look forward to the day of harvest that God will grant at his proper time. The godly labors that we have will provide blessings to us and benefits to others. So as we think about Labor Day and think, oh, that is purely a secular holiday, I want to remind you that God tells us to be useful. And may we, each one here today, find usefulness in God's threshing floor, on God's fields, in the God's harvest at his proper time. Shall we pray?